We have just entered All Saints' time. And I hope that you are a community that follows the Christian calendar, or the Christian year, as we call it. And All Saints' time is a very interesting time. It began, when did All Saints' Day begin? When did All Saints' Day begin? Father Christy said that he will give two lectures to anyone who gives the answer, my answers, when I preach. When did All Saints' Day begin? Well, on the 1st of November was All Saints' Day. And we began in the church a season quite relatively new to the church called the Kingdom Season, or God Reigning Season, or the Governance of God Season. And this season is very special to the church because it turns within you the need to follow in the footsteps of Christ. So we call it the stir-up Sundays as well. So you find that in some lectionaries, the collect will begin as saying, stir-up. Stir us up, O Lord. Now, All Saints' time, or this time that we are passing, is a 1 month, nearly a month, really, till we come to the last, or the Sunday before Advent. Now, all this might sound like very strange to you, but you have to bear with me because you can't get up and go. And it is nearly 4 weeks of us thinking of some very important themes. One is death. So you heard the gospel reading about Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus and raising Lazarus from the dead. And you must have been wondering, why are we reading the gospel where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead? And so, death is one of those themes. Heaven is one theme. So you ask your priest to talk about all these themes in the next few weeks. The other is hell. The other is hell. I don't know how you're going to explain hell, but anyway, that's another theme that your parish priest should be dealing with. Recently, we had a person was preparing for ordination, he was doing his thesis, and I asked him, it was getting a little late. And I asked him, what is your topic for your thesis? And he said, I'm researching on hell. So I said, all the best to you if you want to research about hell, because I don't know whether there is a literature review about hell. But the fact is that in the calendar that is given to us, prepared for us, hell is one of those themes. We are not going to deal with that. Remembrance is another theme. And in the center of this season is Remembrance Sunday, closer to the 11th of November, when we remember the war dead around the world and especially in our own country, the nation, and the ongoing wars of the world. And so this season points us to the most important things that we are always trying to get our heads around. And who, you may ask, then is a saint? We would like to think that we are all saints, aren't we? We are good to think that we are. Because that's the ideal that is set for us all. God has given us a path to walk in, and we, when we walk in that path, well, we are then walking in the path of sainthood. Now, who is a saint? I like that hymn that is in your hymn books at 272 in the this is called the Hymns Ancient and Modern that we have used here. Hymns Ancient and Modern, they are more ancient than modern. Anyway, 272, which says, let saints on earth in concert sing with those whose work is done. For all the servants of our King in heaven and earth are one. Now that's a very important thing. That we understand that the church, that there is no separation between those who have gone before and us. We are one. And that is why the Eucharist is very important for us. Because when we gather for the Eucharist like we have done today, my dear children, especially you are getting confirmed, you must yearn to come to the Eucharist. And we have an opportunity in our church to receive the Eucharist every day. I don't know whether you have Eucharist here every day, but very close by to where you are, St. Michael has sent somebody presides over the Eucharist every day. The Cathedral has Eucharist, a daily Eucharist, which you can attend. Now, why is it that so important for us? Is because in the Eucharist, we join the entire church. The whole church. Those who have gone before and those who are after. That is us. One family, the second verse, I skip it and do the third verse, because that's the one that I want to draw your attention to. One army of the living God, to his command we bow. Part of the host have crossed the flood. Some have already crossed. And part are crossing now. What a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture to show us that it is never ending. This passage that is leading us towards the entire community of God is an ongoing activity. Some have already crossed. Some are crossing. And can you see, if you can understand this picture, you can get it into your head, it takes away for us the fear that we have of passing on. We are crossing into greater, into fuller life. And so, All Saints is to understand our place, to take our place in the church in the most proper way. Those who are getting confirmed today, we are taking our place as responsible members of the church today. And those of us who are already confirmed, do you remember your confirmation?
No.
Don't do that. We want to forget certain things, don't we? Certain things we want to remember. And I think it's good for us to remember our confirmation on a day like this. Because we can't remember, most of us can't remember our baptism because we are baptized at infant. But at least our confirmation, which opens the door to us into a new relationship with Christ and takes us on beyond that point into full responsible membership of the church. And through that, a greater understanding of what God is doing in our lives, every moment, every step of the way, God is moving us beyond ourselves into that full communion. And I want to draw your attention to the Eucharistic liturgy, in which we all will say at some point about the communion of saints. And so, Father, we present this bread and cup in communion with your whole church, in fellowship with Blessed Mary and all the saints. And we say it every day. Now, Father, Christy was telling me that you don't use these books, right? I don't know what to do with you, but congregation that belongs to the diocese. That's something we have to look at as we go along. But here, in a very Eucharistic liturgy, our attention is drawn to what and who we really are, our identity. Our identity is not simply people who are in Christ, but our identity is in a community that bears the marks of Christ. And to be part of this great community, which we call the whole church in fellowship with all the saints. A beautiful picture, isn't it? You don't get this anywhere. And no one will ever tell you this. Probably not in many churches. But this is the very essence and the very part of our very lives as we come to this season of God's reign season, or the kingdom season, or God's governance season. And to ask ourselves, where do we stand as a person? Our individuality is taken away, and we are given a new identity in baptism. And so our baptism is so very important, because it calls us, it's a calling, a radical call into a life of faithful living as a community of faith. We lose our individual identity, and we are given an identity in Christ of a community. And always remember that. So we can't isolate ourselves. We can't think for ourselves alone. Because by baptism, whether we like it or not now, we are joined into this community of faith, hope, and love. May God bless you as you strive to live faithfully, shedding that self-identity and taking on. I like the term that Paul uses, that we are putting on, we are clothing ourselves with Christ. And then, when we clothe ourselves with Christ, we lose our self-centeredness and put on and become imitators of Christ.